thank God that you have chosen to join us here for our morning worship. Amen. God is the scripture says God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Amen. So we want to talk about that just a little today, along with some other things that I see that the Lord has put on my spirit to discuss with the church at large, those of you who are believers in the gospel of Jesus the Christ. If you're here today and have not confirmed that you are a believer in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we're here for you also, because we're in the midst of our mission, which is to preach the gospel, the good news, to the whole world. Amen. So we're glad you have joined us. Stick around. We'll tell you some things that Jesus has commissioned us to do in order to initiate you into the blessings of God and the body of Christ. Amen. Before we do that, though, we want to go ahead and pray and have a word of prayer. I'd like to ask you to join me in prayer. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we bless you and praise you. Father, we exalt your name. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Father, it is a blessing that you have woke us up this morning and started us on our way, Lord, so we can give you the highest praise. Father, we thank you for the activity of our limbs, oh God. We thank you that we are clothed and in our right minds. Father, we thank you that you have blessed us with everything, Lord God. Anything that we had need of, you have supplied, just as you promised. And Father, we love you the best we know how. And Father, we ask you to teach us to love you even more, Lord God, because it is you who deserves all praise, all honor, and all the glory, and no other. Lord God, we love you the best we know how. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who you gave to pay the penalty for all of our sins, for everyone who believes, not just us who are believers, but even for those who don't believe, in order that they might have the ability to trust in Christ and believe that you raised him from the dead and be saved. Father, we thank you for commissioning us to share this good news among the whole world, Lord God. And Father, we thank you right now for the provisions you have given to provide for us in order to be able to do that. And Father, we ask you to bless somebody who's listening today, who stumbles up on this, or however they get here, that they might understand the gospel, that you have loved them and given your son Jesus Christ to settle their debt for all their sin entirely. And Father, we just thank you right now. We ask you to bless your word today. And we ask that you give us an understanding of some things we never knew before. And we'll give you all the praise, all the honor, and the glory. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all the saints here together, amen. Hallelujah. We want to thank God for another day's journey. A lot of things going on today, and we want to talk about that just a little bit. There's always been turmoil and different kinds of stuff going on ever since the beginning. So I have it's been impressed into my heart to talk with you, because I got a few calls from some people and texts and letters concerning some of the strange things that are going on. This 2020 has been a very strange year, but to God there have been no surprises, and I want you to know that. I want you to understand that God has everything in control, no matter how it may seem on earth, but God has an agenda, and we are moving forward in God's agenda. God is not 1 second, not even a microsecond late in bringing to pass his agenda. So no matter what we see, we can rest assured that God is in charge, he's in control. He is not sleeping anything. The scripture said the Lord does sleep is not, neither does he slumber. See, so in other words, he's on top of everything. No matter what might seem like it's unfair or unjust or difficult for us to understand, we need to know and rest and lean and depend upon the rock of our salvation, who has given us a perfect word, which is crystal clear. We're going to talk about that today. And so we don't have to be tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, like Paul told the Ephesians. You see, because we have a solid word from God, and the ones of us who trust God and believe him, we can stand on that rock. That is the rock of our salvation, is the word which has been spoken by the Most High that cannot fail. It's more sure than the rising of the sun. And you know what? I've been in the world a long time, and every time I have seen another day come on, the sun rose. It did what it was supposed to do, and the sun set. And so God's, his works are speaking all the way around you in everything he has made. and they are faithful every day. His mercy is new every day. Hallelujah. So you don't have to worry about anything. If God has promised it, it will. It is so. Let's just put it that way. If he has promised it for the future, it shall be so. And as he has looked in the past, you can look back and check his track record. You can find all the way back from when he spoke and said in the beginning, he created the heavens and earth. He has never failed. And his mercies are new every day toward those who fear him. Amen. And he loves us because at one moment in the midst of human history, he sent his son Jesus, as we know. And that's why our calendar says it's 2020, even though it's a strange year. God, 2,020 years ago, birthed his son, the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, into the world so that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus, after he got out the grave, shook off the grave dust and death, got up with all power in his hands and declared, "All power is given to me," Matthew 28:18. And he says, "Go ye to his disciples, therefore, and teach all the nations." So our mission is enormous. It is to every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. It's not just for one kind of people or another kind. It's to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost part of the earth. There's no question about that. The great news is that the gospel is going. It started in Jerusalem when Jesus got out of the grave, sent his disciples back to preach to the very people who crucified him and who saw to it that he was put to death, which had been accurately predicted by God in the Word for many, many years, all the way back in the book of the law, in the Psalms and the prophets. God spoke of the fact that his son, Jesus the Messiah, would come to his own and his own would receive them not. So it was no surprise to God. It was no surprise to Jesus, although going through the human experience of it was tremendous. And it was a feat of the greatest miracle that has ever happened in the history of humanity. The fact that anyone as being a human and also being God, the Son, could endure the cross. We talked about that in our last message. So we're going to move along today, but I'm happy you're here this morning, and I am so blessed to share another word with you that God has given. Amen. And all these things, when I say that, I mean these are things that are clearly revealed in the Scripture. These are things that God has said that he has written and that I want to share with you. Amen. So it is a blessing. I want to talk today on the subject of the remnant. Remnant in the midst of Bible unbelievers. Remnant in the midst of Bible unbelievers. Now, when I speak of Bible, I'm talking about the counsel and the authority of Almighty God who has given us his word. His word is critical. It's the most important thing that exists. His word will be here, the scripture says, when the heavens and earth have passed away. God says, my word shall never pass away. So it's the most certain thing that we have in this life is the word of God. It's also the most attacked. It's the most belittled. It's the most disbelieved. It is the most scandalized. It is the most butchered by people who call themselves smart, by people who call themselves scientists, by people who call themselves the politicians, by people who call themselves so many titles that God even allows them to be blessed to even be. You can't be any of those things apart from the power of God. But yet people take the blessings of God. They enjoy his world, his provisions, all the things he has given. And yet they do not desire him, or they want to redefine him some other kind of way other than what he said. How he is. And you know what? His evidence is preaching. I don't even have to ever say a word. All we got to do is look when we see the sun rise. God's faithfulness is being portrayed every second of every day of existence on his planet and in his universe, not just his planet, but in his universe. There is nothing in the universe that he does not know about. You know why? Because he created it. And that's why man is struggling to try to find out. And we keep thinking, oh, we can go out further and further and further, and we'll find out that there's other things. All it is to contest what thus saith the Lord. So I want you to understand something, that there is only a remnant. That means there's only a small amount of people, and I pray that you're one of those small amount, like I am, who trust and believe what God has written in his word. The Bible says, and I mention this quite frequently, that it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one jot or tittle to in any wise fail from God's law. In other words, Jesus has guaranteed us. And why should we believe Jesus, the only one who defeated death? Who you know who defeated death? Let me ask the question. I'm going to leave that one hanging for a minute. Who do you know who got out the grave except Jesus? The answer is there is no one other than people he raised or folks that he appointed to raise that even got out of the grave. There have been a few accounts of that in the Bible, like Elijah, for example, raised a young man back from the dead. And we have some records of other people here and there, but they had to go back to the grave and finally to the dust and wait on the day of judgment. Only one got out of the grave. Even Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, let me go back and say, before, while he was here during his first advent, and of course Lazarus had to go back to the grave because that was not an eternal resurrection, but there's only one who got up out of the grave and declared, all power is given to me in heaven and earth, and his name is Jesus. So the resurrection is the proof that he has authority even over death, which he is the penalty for sin that God had pronounced originally in his word to Adam and told him, the day you transgress against me, you shall surely die. And so sin and unbelief of God goes all the way back to Adam. And it also tells us that this is why death has reigned all through all of time. And the only time we've had a permanent interruption in the people dying is in the case of Jesus the Christ. He is the only one that got up out of the grave and said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. See that? Why? Because he rose out of the grave, displaying that he is the Messiah, the Christ, and that was just as it had been written. And that's the big thing that I want to talk with you about. Some people believe what is written, some people don't. We have people who put out philosophies every second of every created myself. But I want you to see that after the flood in the days of Noah, there were eight souls, the Bible says, who came through the flood. And that was a remnant of just eight. And we can see that right there from that example that God had preserved a remnant, just eight souls who came through the flood. And then after so much time, well, let's say, and we won't get into the details of that, he sanctified Abraham, who was a Chaldean Gentile, called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, told him, get away from your country and away from your father's house and come into a land that I'll show you and I'll bless you and I'll make your name great. At that point, God was separating the Jews to be a sanctified remnant. Sanctified just means set apart. God has set you apart for a purpose. If today you believe God's word, you are part of the remnant of believers. Because you know why? Most of the world, quite a bit, I would say most, do not believe God. You know how you know? Because they doctor what he said. They say other stuff is true of what he said. They add stuff to what he said. They put councils of so-called religious people above what he said. And all of that goes on every day. And we live in a world full of people who are not believers that God is able to tell us his entire word and that we can trust in it and lean and depend on it. And these are sometimes religious people, sometimes political people, and all of these people, sometimes scientific people, sometimes people with all kinds of degrees, and they want to judge God's word rather than believe God's word. So what I hope that you do today and what I do, and I'm going to speak for myself right now, is I trust and believe every word because Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, you know what? He would not tell you that if you didn't have every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In other words, if you don't know everything God said, how can I command you to live by it? That wouldn't make sense, would it? That would be a completely senseless statement. But the truth is, God's word is more authoritative, more powerful, more to be believed by people who trust him than any other thing that's going on. So when you see hogwash and confusion and people arguing and billowing back and forth about who's right, who's wrong, and which side is better than that and which religion is better than that, cancel that mess. Pick up the word of God. Trust what God says. Believe it. Walk in it by faith, and God promises you that you will not perish but have everlasting life by his Son, who is the focal point of his word. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the focal point of God's word, and he is also the focal point of right now today, not yesterday, not 200 years ago, not 400 years ago, but modern history right now today is divided on the person of Jesus Christ, regardless of what people tell you. It's 2020 because Jesus Christ was born 2,020 years ago. And so we're counting our time. Every second that ticks on the clock is ticking based on the first coming of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. And we proclaim him to you. He said God's word is solid, dependable, and this will take place. It will happen exactly as God has said. So I need you to know that first. If you believe that, it's because you are a remnant. Remnant means a small piece. It's kind of like you buy carpet to do your house. And you buy a little extra because you don't know how much it takes to do the whole house. And so you get more. You measure the house the best you know how, or the room, or whatever you're doing. And you order a little extra because you know you're going to have to cut it out to fit into the room that you're putting it in. When you get through with the cutting, you'll have some pieces left over. And the room will be full of carpet. But what's left will be called the remnant. It's the little bit that's left after everything has been cut out to fit. Well, that could be used as a metaphor to talk about the world and how it is right now. God has given the shape of everything to everybody. He has made his word available. Do you know the Bible is the most widely sold book on earth at all times? It always has been. It was the first thing printed on the Gutenberg press, as they say. Even before it was printed, it was still the pervasive word of God, and it's the most important document in the history of humanity and of time. It's the most scientific document, let me add, in the history of time. It will never fail. It has never failed, and it shall never fail. And there's a remnant of people who believe that. The majority of the people don't believe it. The part that's covering the whole room doesn't believe it. But the part that was cut off, the little pieces, those are the people who actually believe what God said. They are the ones who trust the gospel. They believe the word of God. They understand the science of Scripture because God is omniscience, we say, which is omniscience of God. In other words, he knows everything. You know why? Because he created it all. Duh, we might want to add at that point, those of us who are of the remnant, we know how things came to be. The Scripture says God spoke and things came into existence. Ex nihilo, the Latin term, is out of nothing. And that's what people have trouble with. So it's a very bold claim, and there's only going to be a remnant of people who actually believe it, latch onto it, and hold onto it for dear life because it is the word of God. Now, having said that, the remnant are the few people who believe that trust God, who are given salvation by his grace. The remnant doesn't believe that God owes them salvation. The remnant does not believe that they have earned salvation. The remnant knows that it's totally by God's mercy that anyone could be saved. Because ever since Adam, no one has ever walked perfectly before God, not a soul, except his son, Jesus the Christ. And so for that reason, the remnant understands that we are saved by God's mercy. We're saved by his grace. We're saved by his son, who came out of eternity into time 2,020 years ago, was born just like we are, came through the entire human experience in order to give his life as a ransom for the sin of whoever believes and trusts God's word. And that is the remnant, those people who trust and believe in him. You know what? The Scripture says he came to his own. After we mentioned the sanctification of Abraham, who God called out of the Gentiles in order to make a people for his own possession, he was set apart, therefore, because Genesis 15:6 says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. See, that's the thing I want you to understand. Now, at that time, the word was not written. It was spoken by God directly to Abram. And he was called out of Ur of Chaldees. You can read it in Genesis 12. And he became the father of the Jews. Okay, there were no Jews till God called out Abram, sanctify the people for his own possession out of the Gentiles. You read that in Genesis 10. It talks about the dividing of the Gentiles. And then Abram came, was called out. So whoever believes God is that remnant who is called out. And that word called out in the Greek, which is in the New Testament, how the New Testament is written in Greek, is ekklesia, the called out ones, those who have been called out of the culture to trust and believe in Almighty God and his word. And so what I want you to see here is that there's always only been a remnant. There's never been the whole big majority of people who believe what God said. The majority of people go on their own way, and they do things like what happened in Genesis 11. They build towers, and they proclaim themselves to be wise,
And Paul puts it this way in Romans 1. He says, professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image. So people start to create images, empires, whatever they have, towers, all kinds of stuff. And they worship and serve the creature, which are the things God made, rather than the creator, who is God blessed forever. Amen. And so that's what he says in Romans 1, if you want to read that. And so the fact is, God's wrath, it says in Romans 1:18, is revealed against all from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. So that's what we're dealing with right now. And you need to know this, that God has given you a sure, perfect word. He has given you the only proof that anybody has on planet Earth or anywhere else in the universe that he has the solution to the problem of death, which is the penalty of sin for sin all the way from the beginning when Adam sinned, death came into the world and it rained and it's still raining right now. One of the most productive businesses, unfortunately, which seems to be getting more and more productive in our time, is the morticians and the funeral director. That's because people always die and that death continues to reign. But Jesus got out of the grave to show you that I have the answer to the problem of death. And so God's word tells us what the answer to the problem of death is, and we can reduce it to just one name, that's the name of Jesus. Because Jesus defeated death, he defeated the devil, he defeated the grave, and he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're going to talk about that just a little here. So all of that was kind of a brief introduction. So once we became saved, this is the means that we have. This means when you become saved, this is what it means, that you have heard and believed the gospel, which is that good news I just shared with you, that God has sent his only son, Jesus, to pay in full. In other words, we don't add anything to our salvation. Jesus paid it all. He paid it in full for all of our sins and has also defeated death for us by his resurrection. When you believe that, that's what brings you out of the group of the big piece, as we mentioned, into the remnant. You are the part who believes. And now, why is that? I am a little troubled with that. Most people will say, well, why aren't the big piece? What's up with that? Well, the big piece has chosen not to believe God's word. They want to say, well, yeah, we believe some of that, but we don't believe it all. Or we believe this part, not that part. Or, oh, we don't believe any of that, but we got to look at this. Or, we got to live in the real world, I hear people say all the time. Oh, I got to be in the real world. I don't have time. And they put the Bible on the shelf as some kind of a fallacy or a fantasy. But the truth is, God has given his word, and it's more indelible than anything else. In other words, it is the edict of the Most High God, and it is just as sure as the rising of the sun. If you see the sun coming up, God's word is coming up. It's even before that. It causes the sun to come up and set. You see what I'm saying? It causes the earth to do what it does. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and they who dwell in it. And you know what? God's faithfulness can be seen just as every day. When you look at anything that he made, the firmament declares his glory, and the heavens declare his glory, and the firmament shows his handiwork, the scripture says. So God is on display everywhere. And whoever believes in him through his son, Jesus, who is made the only mediator between God and man, shall not perish but have everlasting life. So when this amazing event happens, in other words, salvation, when it happens to you, you trust Christ, you believe God is raising from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. So when this amazing event happens, you are placed in a group known in the scriptures as the remnant, okay, which is a set of people who have been equipped to see that the Bible is the complete and authoritative word of God, containing everything accurately and constantly being revealed from day to day. God is giving you more and more revelation from day to day to trust and believe what he has written. And the scripture cannot be broken, Jesus said. And so you will find this out. You know what? All the big part of the carpet, as we mentioned for our metaphor, we'll find out that the scripture cannot be broken. They may not believe it now. They don't trust it now, but it's a warning from Almighty God. If you do not believe his word, stop and repent right now, because you are not correct about that, and you will not succeed. God's word will succeed even when everything else, the heavens and earth, have passed away. Mark 13:31 says that the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but God said my word will never pass away. So we can count on God's word, and that's the big point that I would like to make as we open up this worship here today. So what this indicates is, this indicates that our view of the world changes as a result of the marvelous transaction between the believer and Almighty God. When you believe His word, your relationship changes. You become a part of the remnant, the section of people that God is saving who trust Him. You know, people who say, oh, I believe in God, but now I want to add 49 things to what He said. No, you don't. You don't believe Him. You know why? Because He told you everything you need for time and eternity. If you say, oh, I believe God, but, there's some other books that are missing. No, you don't, because God said, I've given you a complete word. Jesus promised you that He said that man shall not live by bread alone. In other words, yeah, you got food and all that by God's word. He provides everything you need. He gives you sustenance from day to day. But He says, you shall not live by bread alone. Don't trust in the things that He has provided you. But you need to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Where is that? He wouldn't tell you to do it if you couldn't do it. It's right here between the covers from Genesis to Revelation. So God's word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. It'll show you how to walk through this world. So we need to understand that that transaction of salvation brings you into the group known as the remnant, and it changes the relationship between you and Almighty God, who awards all believers with the seal of the indwelling Holy Spirit, who begins to process of sanctification, in other words, to transform the believer into the image of Christ our Savior. So that's what happens when you believe. God doesn't leave it up to you at that point, because you believe, and understand this, if you're a part of the remnant, it's because God selected you. He's giving you the faith to know that my word is true, that it will not perish. It will always come to pass. It cannot be broken. He gives you that, and that's what we call faith, that tenacity to understand that God's word is true. I can count on it. It's more certain than the very ground upon which I'm standing. That's why it says the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but His word will never pass away. So this is comforting. If you are a part of the remnant, you understand that. And you are looking for God to perform everything that He has promised. You have a history of that God has performed for you everything that He has promised, and that you are moving forward in His grace, and you are moving forward in your knowledge and in your understanding of His word. And so God wants to enrich everyone who comes to Him. Jesus said that everyone who comes to God must believe that He is, and that actually the writer to the Hebrews writes it, but it's the Holy Spirit who's given him this unction to say that you must believe that He is. First of all, Hebrews tells us this, that everyone who comes to God, we must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of the ones who diligently seek Him. See, so it's that diligent seeking that keeps us in the book, learning more and more of God's word that He has said. And so the world is telling you all kinds of things. We're on such a roller coaster here in the United States, is unbelievable. We have people dividing over stuff to different people who don't even believe God's word. No matter what they're doing, I mean, I don't care if it's politics, I don't care if it's science, or it doesn't make any difference whether it's politics or science or so-called science, because if it defies the truth, then it is not consistent with God's word. In fact, it's in competition with God's word. But you and I can trust God's word, because His word is what we need. It's the only thing that will survive when heaven and earth have passed away. So what's the problem? Why do all these people reject God's word and deny His word? Or they want to slap a little word in here and there, but they really don't believe it. Because if they did, they would behave differently. You know what? When you believe the truth, you begin to behave differently. Doesn't mean you become instantly perfect. But one thing, like Paul said to the Philippians, this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind and look forth unto those that are before, and I press toward the mark. So there's a pressing toward the mark of getting your life right, getting your life lined up with God's word. It's not a putting the word away and then let me cut loose and do whatever I like. But that's what most of the world is doing in politics, in science, in all manner of government, all around the world, not just in America, but everywhere. The whole world is walking to the beat of a different drummer, and they have set God's word not even on the back burner. Sometimes it's thrown out in the backyard. And so this is where we are right now. So when we have confusion like we see in our country, and people saying this party and that party is better than the other, you know what? All of them are shot through and through. I need to say it again. and that we are looking at people who have rejected and abandoned God's word. They have abandoned the fact that Christ is the center of human history. He's the only one that can impart life to the dead. He's the only one that defeated the grave. You know, all the doctors we have, they claim that, and I thank God for doctors. I'm going to let you know, I've had to see a few and they have helped me. But the fact is, they cannot reverse death. One person can reverse death, and his name is Jesus. The promise of Christ is in his word. You know what? We all have death that we have to tangle with at some point, unless we happen to be the generation that is alive on the when the Lord is done with all the foolishness that's going on with people rejecting his word. And he'll snatch up the ones who trust him. That remnant will be snatched right out of the mix. And God will start to deal severely with the people who have rejected his word and set it aside, set it at naught. They won't even realize what happened. And God will start to deal with them in an aggressive manner. And you know what? I'm going to say this. I got to go on record here. God doesn't just let us off because he's a good and kind God. And we have run to him for shelter. No, you know what? God is angry at the sin that is in this world. He's angry at the sin that is in me. But the difference is I have trusted his word. And I believe in his son. And I'm studying his word. His word is cleansing me. It has become the washing of regeneration and renewing by his spirit for me. I'm still not perfect, but God says, I take you and I accept you on the basis of faith in my son, who is the great high priest. And I send him for that reason, because I am angry at sinners every day. I hate sin. Sin will be eradicated. It will be destroyed. He hates factions and divisions and people who cast aside his word. And he will judge them, and he will bring judgment upon them, and it will be swift and serious judgment. And so we need to understand that even though God is love, as the scripture says, and God has mercy, he has given his word in time in order to be applied to people who know that sin is ugly, that we have offended God, and that God is angry at sinners every day, the scripture says. And so you need to get in under his mercy right now, and under his grace right now, while there's still time. Because there's coming a day when God will say, that's enough. I've had enough. They have blasphemed my name. They blasphemed my son. They threw out my word. And they're down there acting like they're all that in a bag of chips. And they're not. They're full of sin, hatred, and animosity. And I am going to send judgment. And it's going to fall like rain. And it's going to be terrible. You don't want to be on that side of God. I always say it's kind of like God has a great archer, and he's taken his arrow and he's pulled it back and he's got his eye on the target. And one day, baby, you don't want to be in front of there when that judgment falls. You need to trust God and believe that God raised his son from the dead while there's time. Trust God and believe that he has given you his holy word and that it cannot fail. You know what? There's only a remnant who believe that. I would like to preach this to every office in the government, the Congress, the Senate, the House, the representatives, everybody, the judges. Wake up, because God's word is going to fall like lightning, and you don't want to be on the wrong side of it. His word is going to send judgment, and you need to wake up and smell the coffee, to put it in modern terms. God has given Jesus to Christ, and he is angry with sin, and he is not satisfied or even happy at all about the way we're carrying on down here, not just in America, but everywhere. In the Kremlin, wherever you want to go, go somewhere, Damascus, in Syria, go anywhere on earth, Iran and Iraq, denying Christ, putting up phony and false gods all around the world. You can believe God is not going to deal with it casually. And Jesus, I'm going to show you this. Let's go to the word now. I'm sorry, I got on a rant there. Let's go to the word. I'm not sorry I said it, because it's the truth. But let me go ahead and get into my study here. I don't want to go too far afield. Psalms number 110 in the Old Covenant said this, a psalm of David. The Lord said to my Lord, that's the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Lord, said to my Lord, capital L, O-R-D, sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord shall stretch forth your strong scepter in Zion. He shall rule in the midst of your enemies. You see that? There are enemies. And God is, this is God the Father speaking to God the Son, whom he has ordained to come into the world in order to set the world at peace with him if they trust him and believe his word. It has to do with, do you trust God and believe his word? So this psalm written by David, generations before the Messiah was revealed, has said this, and it's something that you and I, let's say this is the ratification, if you will, of Psalms 2, which we talked about before, that asks, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The rulers and the kings of the earth take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, who is his son, his Christ, and say, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us. They don't want control on them by God's word. You know what? The thing that's so crazy is God loves you. He gave you this world to enjoy. Why would you not want him to be a part of it? He gave it to man to be have fellowship with man because he loved man. But what is man saying? Yeah, I don't need you. I'll just take your stuff. I want your stuff. I want to glory in it. I want people to gloat over me, not you. Gloat over me. I'm the one. That's where people are. See, gloat over how I'm doing things here. I'm running all this. That's how people are. The fact is, without God, you're in tragic trouble. You're in a difficult situation. You will not survive. Because just like Cain and Abel, we mentioned them last week in last week's lesson, Abel got put to death because he acknowledged God. Cain said, well, I'm not doing it that. I'm doing it my way. And that's been the attitude in mankind all the way from then till now. And God has put up with it. So I would say, and I don't think God, I'm sure God does not change. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord your God, I change not. So he isn't changing, but the fact is he hated sin when Adam did it, and he hates sin when I do it. He hates sin when you do it, and he hates sin when anyone does it. He always hated sin. You know why? Because he's perfectly holy, perfectly righteous, perfectly pure, and he has never enjoyed sin for any reason. He tolerates it because he's also merciful and he's kind. And he gave his son and allowed him to be subjected to the hands of sinners in order to have a way of escape for us who trust his word and believe that he raised his son from the dead to deal even with the penalty of our sin in order to give us eternal life, which is a proper relationship with him. John 17:3, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I want to insert that right here in the middle of this Psalm 110. So this is the Psalm of David. The Lord has said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. That's where Jesus is now. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, the majesty on high. Why? Because he has finished the work that God had given him to do. He came into the world and fulfilled God's word to a T. I mean, everything that God had said, Jesus went through it while he was here. He came to show love to Israel and to all the people of the earth. He came to be a light to the Gentiles, the Bible says. In other words, his plan was always to save all the families of the earth. That's what he promised Abraham in Genesis 12. I'm going to come through your seed and bless all the families of the earth through your seed, who is Jesus, the Messiah, as Paul told the Galatians, as he was explaining that text from Genesis 12. And so God has always planned to save whosoever believes in him, whoever trusts him, who takes his word and believes it and understands that his word is where power comes from to overcome and defeat sin. His word is what unites us back together in fellowship through his son, Jesus, the Christ. That's why this Psalm, once again, 110 says, a Psalm of David, the Lord has said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will stretch forth your strong scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. See that? He's going to rule even in the midst of all the enemies of God. Your people, that's folks who believe, the remnant, will volunteer freely in the day of your power, in holy array from the womb of the dawn. Your youth are to you as the dew. See, that's a prosaic way of saying God is in the midst of everything and all the way from the womb of the dawn. That means when God said, let there be light, and there was light. That ever since I said that and set things in motion, I have had you in the picture. I've had you in my mind. I loved you and I provided for you and all those things. We could take a lot of time with all these verses, but our time is short this morning. So verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. Now this is when God has sworn some all, we better notice what it says. Because God has only sworn a few times that we notice. And what he was doing was validating that what his word says can be trusted. You can trust what his word says. You can depend on what his word says. You must believe with all your heart, no matter what you see, whatever you go through, what his word says. And so it's really a serious thing. He has sworn and will not repent, the KJV says. This is the NASB I'm reading now. He says, you are a priest speaking to his son forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek is the priest of the Most High God that's mentioned in the book of Genesis. I think it's chapter 14 when Abraham was leaving from the defeat of five kings that he met Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, and he had bread and wine, which are the implements of the new covenant that we have communion with. Bread and wine. Read that. Comes up again here in Psalms 110 and says that you are a priest speaking to the Son of God, the Messiah, forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, which was the priesthood that existed before the Levites, even before Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel, the tribe of Levi, which became the priests because they did not worship the golden calf. They stood in that test with it. And we have to talk about all this in another Bible study, but the Levites became the priests, but God already had a priest before that. And that's what this is talking about. The priest after the order of Melchizedek. You also read about him in the book of Hebrews. And Psalms 110 is quoted throughout the New Testament multiple times. And we find that it is the fulfillment of Psalm 2 being added more to tell you about the coming Christ, who is the priest of the Most High God after the order of Melchizedek. And we can get all this right from God's word. And so we understand that God had prophesied the coming of Jesus. Now notice what it says, Psalms 110:5, the Lord is at your right hand. He shall shatter kings in the day of his wrath. He will judge among the nations. This is not just talking about Israel. It's talking about the nations, the Gentiles, the ethnos. That's the Greek word. The goyim in the Hebrew. All the people of the world. See that? God's always speaking on a global, worldly level. We think global is a new thing. No, it's not. God's word is global. It goes from sea to sea and coast to coast all around the planet. And it goes on out into the universe, to the ends of the universe. But the fact is, it is the only document of that sort, that it covers everything in time and eternity. So he says, he will judge among many nations. He will fill them with corpses. You talking about death? Wait till you get on the wrong side of God and receive some death because you didn't believe his word. It says, he shall shatter the chief men over a broad country. He will drink from the brook by the wayside. Therefore, will he lift up the head. Well, that's a powerful psalm, and we don't have time to exhaust all the nuances of it. But I want you to see that God has kept his word. He sent his son, and his son came right on time, and it was a beautiful thing. And whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Because God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So this indicates that our view of the world changes as a result of the marvelous transaction between the believer and Almighty God, who awards all believers with the seal of the indwelling Holy Spirit, who begins to process the process of sanctification to transform the believer into the image of Christ. So when you accept God's word and believe that God raised his son Jesus from the dead, he adopts you into his family, fills you with his Holy Spirit, begins to internally teach you the things of God so that you can be given personal authority over your sin, personal authority over your thoughts, your actions, your deeds. You know what? It doesn't happen instantly. I pray sometimes, Lord, just do something to me to make me get stuff right because I don't get it right all the time. I try. I go through it, but I have the comfort of knowing that God loves me, has given his son Jesus for me. I trust him, believe his word. I'm going to proclaim his word till I leave here. Don't know when that'll be. But I'm not worried about it because he's got it covered. And the fact is, if you do this, you too will be a part of the remnant of believers who can claim the blessing of God by faith in the work of Jesus Christ and that alone. And that's why the gospel is good news. You know what? That's probably why all these other people who are grabbing for power want you to trust what they say rather than believe what God says. So don't get hung up in it. This is the time we live in. 1 John 3:13 says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Now, how about that? John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, said, don't you get tripped up or marvel or let it blow your mind if the world hates you. You know why? Because you are part of the remnant. You are the remnant of people who believe God's word. You trust his word. You believe his son. You believe the gospel that he raised him from the dead. You are going to be an oddball because most of the world is going to be like Abel, like Cain, at least let's say, like Cain. They're going to be in that family of unbelievers. Yeah, you do it that way. That's God's way, but I'm going to do it my way. And so you got to make a choice. And you need to understand when you make that choice, I'm trusting God. I become a part of the remnant. I believe every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Walking by faith, not by sight. I can't go by what I see pervasively being done in the world. Why? Because the world is not trusting God. They don't believe God. They don't trust his word. Threw it out of American culture. Now, look at the mess that we have now. Look at how we look now. We look horrible. Back when we even had it, there was enough issues in culture and in society here in America. Look at it now. This is what you get after 50, 60 years, no prayer, no God, just throw Jesus out. We'll talk about God, but we won't mention Jesus. Well, you know what? You cannot approach God without Jesus. That's an offense to God, and it's a stench in his nostrils, and you won't survive it. Because God has given his son publicly and openly, and it's a part of human history, and we cannot reject it. If we do, then you've chosen to be in the crosshairs of God's wrath. And his wrath will fall like lightning when you least expect it. And so John goes on to say, 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. See, he's saying there's a remnant of people who believe God, and they will take the suffering that goes along with it. Because sometimes you have to suffer if you're in contradiction to the big piece that's filling the room and all you are the little pieces that are left, the remnant, who trust God. But there's always only been a remnant who trusts God. Even when Jesus was born, there were people who were a part of the remnant. People like Zacharias and Elizabeth, who were the parents of John the Baptizer. People like Anna, the prophetess, who was a widow for many years and prayed day and night and fasted and prayed in the temple. She was in tune with God's word. And they were there to bless Jesus, Simeon, people like that in the book of Luke. And when Mary and Joseph came into the temple to have Jesus circumcised on the eighth day according to God's law, Simeon was there and he was a part of the remnant. He believed, even though most of the folks in the temple were into rituals, they were into all kinds of ceremonies, and they thought God was happy with those ceremonies and those rituals. But the fact was, God has never been satisfied with the blood of bulls and goats, Hebrews 10 and 4 says. He was always looking forward to the birth of his son, Jesus the Christ, who would shed his blood once and for all for the sins of many, and whoever believes in him. You notice it doesn't say necessarily all, but for the sins of many. How many? As many as believe him. To them he gives the right to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name. So those who trust him, believe his word, or the ones who get saved. But there's always just the remnant. So don't get used to being in the big crowd with everyone who's marching in on the beat of this or that trend or that politic or this group or that group or this philosophy or whatever it is or this scientific discovery. Because all of that, let me say to you, and I want to say it again, all of that will fail. It will all fail. The only thing that's going to persevere is the saints will persevere who have trusted in Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead. So John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. See that? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So that's what we need to understand. Those who do the will of God, what is the will of God? His word, what he said. Set your mind on things above, Paul said to the Colossians, not on things that are on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And I want you to see something here just before we close. Time's getting away quicker than I had hoped. But I want you to understand this. In Matthew chapter 22 and 3, we have passages that tell us that Jesus was extremely upset. He was mad. You know, anger is not a sin. I wondered, did you know that? You know, the Bible says, be angry, but sin not. Ephesians 4:26, be angry, but sin not. So you're commanded to be angry. You ought to be mad about the way politics is. I am. I'm mad about it. It's upsetting because you are you've thrown out God's word, and you've taken on a role, all of you, all of them take on some kind of role, and then they say, oh, this side is better than that side. No, all of y'all need to get on your face and get back in the book and trust God and give glory to Christ publicly, because if you don't know him publicly, you don't know him at all. Jesus said, if you don't own me before men, neither will I own you before my Father who is in heaven. And you know what? The way I am and the way y'all are too, I'm not judging you. But let me say, if you have sin, you need to be concerned about this point. It's a point that you should be concerned about. You know why? Because when I stand before God, I need desperately for Jesus to say, Lord, I know him and he was not ashamed of me. He professed me publicly. See, he was not ashamed of my chains and my beating and my flogging and my crucifixion. He was willing to stand and take the flack that comes from the culture because of me. See, that's what I need. Now, if you don't need it, you go right on. You do what you're doing. I think it's the ones who trust Christ and believe that God is raising from the dead shall be saved. And so we need to get this understanding. We live in a critical time, but it's not much different. This is what I want you to see before I close. Hopefully I have time to get this. In the book of, just start reading Matthew in 22. And when you get over in 23, you'll find out that Jesus was rebuking the people who were in charge. Why? Because they didn't know, they didn't realize the time of their visitation. That God had given you his word. You were the keepers of his word from Genesis to Malachi. And he was coming right on schedule, just like he said he would. He came exactly in the manner that he said he would. He came and did everything. He showed up and showed off. He showed people, I got authority over sickness and disease. I have authority over death and the grave. I have authority over everything that's a problem. Even the storms in the sea, I can say, peace be still, and shut down the hurricane. You see what I'm saying? So he showed up, and he showed off, and you know what they said? Man, we don't know who he is, man. He got to go. We got to get rid of him. He's busting up our little phony show. We got a phony show going on, and the people are believing it, and we're here trying to call ourselves running Israel from the capital of Jerusalem, and here he comes with all of his razzmatazz and pulling away people after him. Man, he got to go. We got to destroy him. That's what they said. We live in a time like that. You're subject to be destroyed if you stand up and say the truth. Anything is hogwash, whether scientific, supposedly, political, even religious or philosophical. Oh, we're for all that. Well, we're for political correctness, but we're not for the staunch truth of God's word and the fact that we must laud his son. He deserves your praise. He is not only the Christ, but he is the only one who is the Savior of the world. He is the Messiah. He is the way, the truth, and the life. See, no one can come to the Father except by him. Doesn't make any difference who doesn't believe it or proclaim it. No matter what kind of a religious title you slap on, a political title you slap on, you do not trump God's word. God's word trumps you, and you will find that out in the latter days. And so this is what I want you to understand. Jesus came to these political, religious, socioeconomic leaders in Jerusalem, and he gave them the most scathing rebuke that you can ever find. Read Matthew 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And he told them all of the reasons why they were hypocrites. We don't have time to go into the whole section here in this session right now. I'll talk about it more at the Bible study later this week. But then in chapter 23, Jesus doesn't say that and then say, oh, that's because I'm the big kahuna. No, you know what? It says in chapter 23, verse 37, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. God says, I've been pleading with you to accept my mercy, accept my grace, put me in the proper place where I should be in your life. Came down and showed you my love, showed you my power, showed you that I can handle every situation that's wrong, leprosy, whatever it is, deafness, blindness, I got it under control. Everything, including the grave, I can raise the dead. And what did you do? You spit on me. You found me guilty. You drug me before the Gentiles, the Romans, and said, crucify him, crucify him. That's what you said. And you saw through to the fact that I was nailed up on a tree, and I knew you would do it. That's the whole situation you need to understand. I knew you would do it. You know why? I wrote it in my word. and you did exactly what it said. You denied the truth, and I knew you would do it because that's how twisted sin is. And so Jesus was going on to say, what? It broke his heart, though. He wasn't saying, man, I'm giving you what you deserve, you sucker, because you misjudged me. He said, you know, I knew you were messed up like that. I understand the tragedy of sin, and I have come to give you relief, but you won't accept it. So he wept over Jerusalem. Oh, you who kill the prophets and stone them which are sent to thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but you would not. You wouldn't accept it. You wouldn't accept my mercy. You would not accept my grace. So he says, behold, your house is left desolate to you. And for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And when he shows up next time, you will see. Matthew 24, he goes on to give a scenario that Jesus went out as he departed from the temple. Now, after this flaming rebuke, he goes out and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. Well, look at all these buildings that Herod added to the temple and all that. And they're showing him how wonderful the temple is. And Jesus said to them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you that there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And he began to give them the signs of the end of the age. Now I want you to know those signs are starting to show up. But we don't have to fear because God has promised us that he will deliver us. No matter how ugly the situation gets here on planet Earth, God says, I will deliver you if you trust me, that you walk by faith, not by sight, believe on me, and preach my gospel. That's what my purpose is. And whoever doesn't like it, I'm sorry. I'm just like Jesus. I weep for you because you need the gospel. You cannot be right with God without the gospel, the good news that he gave his son in order to settle that wrath that he has against sin that will come and fall like rain any day now. And it's time that we all repent. Even if you are saved, I want to call on you. Have a self-examination like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Make sure that you are on the right track. But this is not a time. The time we live in is a perilous time, dangerous time that have come upon the world. And you and I need to really examine ourselves, make sure you understand and trust Christ, that you believe the gospel, the good news, that you trust God's word, that you don't buy the hype of the culture and the politicians and the scientists and all these people who are feeding us with lies and hypocrisy who don't know God. And so you know what the Bible says? The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. So once you cancel God, you put yourself in that category of the fool who has said in his heart that there is no God. Psalms 14:1 and Psalms 53:1, in case you need a reference on that. And the fact is, trusting God with all your heart is what the writer to the Proverbs, most wise man on earth, said. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You don't even have to understand it. Just understand, if you are the remnant in the midst of Bible unbelievers, you trust the Bible. You trust the word of God. You will not forsake God's word. You know, even if it rebukes you, like Job said, even if you slay me, yet will I trust you. And the fact is, we want to trust God with all our hearts, lean not to our own understandings. We need that in these difficult days that we're living in. I believe God is shaking up some things to get some people to wake up. You know why? Because he loves you. He wants you to be saved. He's not the one. He is not a man that he should lie. Numbers 23 says, you know, nor a son of man that he should repent. He wants you to believe my son. Accept my grace. Accept my mercy. Promise is you shall be saved if you believe in Christ. And I want to be saved. I am saved. I trust Christ. I believe that God raised him from the dead. You know what? His resurrection from the dead cancels my faith in science. You know, I trust science to a degree, but when you start saying stuff like you defy what God has said and you don't believe it, I don't believe you. I don't care what your science says. Doesn't make a difference. I trust God. The science I'm impressed with is that one that got Jesus up out of the grave after 3 days and 3 nights. I'm impressed with that. You can't top that. You can't touch this, baby. So you need to understand, I trust Christ, and I believe in him. You don't have any science to get a person out of the grave. And so you and I want to leave you with this. My time's gone. But trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. If I left some things uncovered and you want to send me a, a word of text or message me or something, that's fine. We've been getting some letters. I'll tell you about that later on at the Bible study. I'm actually over my time, but I love you this morning. God loves you. And just accept his mercy and his grace, and he will direct your path. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Amen. God bless.